Logos appear. National Endowment for the Humanities. American Masters Pictures, PBS. The Dürfner Foundation. The Paul E. Singer Foundation. And Voyeur. A gray-haired man drives a mobility scooter down from a minivan. He wears a baseball jersey featuring the number 70 and the name Perlman. The man, Itzhak Perlman, now rolls through the halls inside Citi Field Stadium. He wears a royal blue baseball cap backwards over his gray wavy hair. In a private room, a companion watches as he plays a violin. Itzhak smiles and expresses dramatically as he runs a bow over the violin tucked under his left cheek.
Play ball!
Play ball!
On the field, the Mets warm up.
That's a home run.
A batter shakes his hand.
Hey! How are you? Pleasure to meet you.
Nice to meet you. It's my wife, Toby.
Nice to meet you.
Thank you for the home run. That was great.
Is it cheesy to say that I always wanted to be a violinist?
Cheesy? Not from you.
At a sound check, Itzhak smiles jovially as he plays.
That's the variation.
Crowds fill the stadium's many tiers as Itzhak drives his mobility scooter onto the field. Ball players stand in a row, holding their hats over their hearts. Toby beams as she records with her cell phone. The words, thank you, as he waves. A title, Itzhak. Yellow taxis roll through Manhattan. In a four-story brownstone row house parlor, Itzhak practices. Executive producers, Michael Cantor and Penny Lieberman. Editor, Helen Yum.
You know where you play that.
A man plays piano by a large window. Another musician holds a bow over his cello. Film by Allison Chernick. Itzhak holds the violin tucked between his chin and left shoulder. The violin's neck rests on his left thumb as his fingers dance over the strings. He bows with his right hand. A brass menorah sits in the window by the pianist.
And it goes with pancakes, if you want. I don't know.
And this is rice.
This is rice. Okay, so then we can open that. That is a domiao.
The cellist, Misha Maisky, opens a container.
So just help yourself.
Okay.
Oh, it's chicken wings. Please.
Thank you.
The pianist, Evgeny Kissin, reaches for the wings.
Did you ever meet Haivich?
Yes.
Right.
Misha.
It was an unforgettable meeting, like I'm sure for everyone, but for me particularly.
See, I think that what makes people want to play an instrument is what they hear in their head. You know, the sound, they like the sound, what they hear. You know, because, you know, one of our children, you know, she always wanted to play the flute. Why? Because that she liked the sound. She liked what here. It's you know, you can't explain it. You know, it's you know, and I wanted to play the violin because I like the sound. I like, but of course, you know, I heard Heifetz on the radio, so it was a nice example. That was already, you know, when I already thought that violin was, that's the thing that I wanted.
Rehearsal continues. Misha creases his brow as he plays the cello. Piano, Evgeny sways. Framed photos of family members sit on top of an Asian chest.
Fourth grade, Russian school.
At dinner.
Classroom, history lesson. So he says, I give you a date, you tell me what happened in the date. 1799. Nobody says anything. Idiots, morons, 1799, what? Nothing.
Misha shakes his head in bemusement.
I'll tell you what it is. 1799, Pushkin's birthday. Okay, now I'll give you something easier. 1812. Silence, nothing. Morons, 1812, idiots, 1812. Finally, Moshe, the Jewish boy in the back, says, he says, yes, Moshe, what is it? He says, Pushkin's bar mitzvah.
The rehearsal.
I'm too early. All right, okay, because I only have one note.
And now.
All right, fine. So do it. 2-3 bars before there. Down.
Itzhak slowly lifts the violin and readies his bow.
Just go with me. Right, do it one more time so I can get it.
Itzhak's gaze grows distant as he listens and waits. With a hesitant grimace, he draws his bow across the strings.
Ah, that felt good.
Dinner table, he smashes a fortune cookie.
First you go like this. That's how you open it.
Evgeny nods
and
approvingly.
You struggle. Now let's see, what did I get here?
Itzhak reads the tiny slip of paper from his cookie.
Be prepared for a sudden, needed, and happy change in plans.
Okay.
Let's not do Tchaikovsky.
Yeah, exactly.
In grainy black and white footage, a younger Itzhak Perlman walks with arm crutches onto a stage. His hair is dark, thick, and wavy, and wide sideburns follow his jawline. Smiling warmly, he bows to a full house, an audience of hundreds. Two large television cameras surround two empty chairs on the stage. A young man delivers a violin and bow to the now seated Itzhak. Itzhak drapes a cloth around the end of the violin and tucks the instrument between his chin and shoulder. Subtitles. Let's say as a student, you take on the violin for the first time. To place the bow on the string and to get a sound, it is very hard. You go to a piano and boom, you have the sound. You press the key and you have all these mechanical parts. It hits the string and you get a sound. With a violin, it is not that automatic. And when you finally get the sound, you are really getting something out of yourself. The more you have in your heart, the more you have to give. In present-day New York, pigeons roost on carved stone details of a bay window on the row house. Itzhak, whose hair is now gray but still thick and wavy, drives his scooter through a wide hall. He sets his violin in an upholstered case. He drives into a tiny elevator. Inside, there are buttons for floors 1-4 and a basement. The walls are covered with photos illustrating a long career and family gatherings. A younger Itzhak holds a preschool-aged boy. Itzhak and Toby join others, posing with a teenaged boy and his trumpet. Wearing a white tuxedo jacket, Itzhak dances with his bride. In more photos, a boy wears swimming trunks. Itzhak plays his violin.
Please don't think I'm an idiot. Please. I'm making the cauliflower again.
In a kitchen, Toby uses her cell phone.
Salt and pepper and olive oil and garlic.
It sounds so delicious.
Oh. Okay, talk to you later. Ciao.
She seasons three trays full of cauliflower florets. A dog stands by her side.
We were very lucky because we have certain areas that we never even discussed. We just felt the same way about these areas and we proceeded with our life. One of them was Friday night. He doesn't play on a Friday night. He doesn't travel on a Friday night. I mean, I always made Shabbat. We never discussed it. It just was what we did. And of course, we have our music in common, which I'm not that I'm in his league or class or anything like that, but I know something and we do well together. We talk about it, we live it, we dream it. You know, and still today, I know I'm very critical of his playing. Everybody who knows us knows that. But to me, when I hear that sound, when I hear that playing,
Toby sways dreamily.
It's like it's breathing. It's being alive.
Itzhak backs out of the elevator into the kitchen.
Hi.
So.
What?
I'm just doing the end. They're just gonna end. It's like a truck, like a.
A truck?
Track.
Oh, a track.
Yes. You know me.
English is not your first language. Yeah.
With a sly glance at the camera, Itzhak steals a piece of cauliflower.
Ah! You are so wet.
A black Portuguese water dog jumps his front paws into Itzhak's lap.
You know what today we got?
What?
I ordered on the telephone. I ordered pickles. So they came with a pickle shirt. A green shirt. And I don't know how they knew about me because they sent me an extra large shirt.
Boy chick, there's nothing for you.
The dog
nothing.
Gazes up at Toby.
We'll have dinner later.
At an airport, Itzhak talks on his phone as he drives the scooter. A TSA agent feels a lump along his thigh.
Race. Race. It's race. Believe me, it's race.
The agent feels down the length of Itzhak's leg. Metal jointed braces extend to his boots. The agent swaps Itzhak's palms. A young woman accompanies Itzhak through the airport.
I never take my shoes off anyway. I can't take my shoes off. They're connected to my braces.
Leaning heavily on the arm crutches, Itzhak steps onto a plane.
I'm good.
Okay, that's why I'm
He drops wearily into a first-class seat.
Done.
Now in Tel Aviv, waves roll onto a narrow strip of beach. Palm trees and skyscrapers line the coast. In town, a white flag with a blue six-pointed Star of David, bordered by blue horizontal stripes, flutters in a breeze.
Okay.
Itzhak drives a van through town. Toby sits in the passenger seat.
When you look at the names of the streets of Tel Aviv, and if you were to know each personality that the street is named after, you would basically know Israeli history and a lot of Jewish history, because every person that the street is named after has done something either in the arts, poetry, politics, anything. So it's, you know, it's like an education. So if you look them up, you know, it's what you call a Jewish Google, if you will. Wouldn't that be, you can call it Google. That would be nice. It's Google,
<That's>
a Jewish Google.
That's funny.
You would really know a lot about history.
He points to a sign.
So now Ben Yehuda, which by the way, his son of Judah, used to be Itzhak Perlman. And a lot of people don't know that.
Nobody knows that
except for me. If you Google it, you will find out.
The van's elevator platform lowers Itzhak and the mobility scooter to the street.
Here, I think there is a violin. There's a violin shop here.
Itzhak and Toby move down a sidewalk with another couple.
When you were a kid?
When I lived here, his father loaned me a three-quarter size violin.
Oh.
In a vestibule.
Weinstein, there it is. First one.
A woman opens an apartment door.
Amnon in Saulo.
Subtitles. Is Amnon there? The woman shakes her head. Now in the violin shop. This is his cave.
Amnon is going to be here any minute. But it's a question of, is it a Jewish any minute or a regular any minute?
Yeah, if it's Jewish, you're in trouble.
Polished wood violins hang in a case.
My picture.
Where?
In a black and white framed photo, a dark-haired Itzhak smiles with another man.
Did you see this? There's a painting of this guy. That's Amnon's father.
In a painting, a man examines a violin.
I don't believe you.
Itzhak spreads his arms in a warm greeting as his friend violin maker Amnon Weinstein arrives.
I was telling him that the last violin I tried of yours, but I'm just. So who made these violins?
It's difficult to say because they are coming from all the world.
I see.
German, French, and Jewish.
Jewish violin. Show me a Jewish violin.
He brings out a violin.
That's a violin.
Its wood features dark vertical grains.
Jakob Zimmermann from Warsaw. And the label is in Yiddish. And a little Star of David here.
Oh my goodness.
It sought reaches for the instrument.
So when was it used?
The guy was an amateur. He played in his house until the last days that the German came to Warsaw. Then he stepped away and he asked his best friend to bring the violin to the family in Jerusalem.
Itzhak draws a bow over the strings. His fingers rock briskly as he presses individual strings along the neck.
It plays Jewish automatically.
Amnon holds an unstrung violin.
A colleague of mine wrote me a letter that he found the violin, he opened it, and that's what was inside.
A wow. Message and a swastika.
Heil Hitler, 1936.
And who made this?
We don't know. The violin owned by a Jewish guy in Germany. Something happened to the violin, and then he brought it to a local guy. The guy opened the violin without permission, did this swastika, Heil Hitler, closed the violin, and the Jewish played on this violin until he passed away.
Oh. Yeah, make sure that there are no strings there.
For the next 1,000 years.
Yes. As we say in English, no strings attached.
Itzhak's brief smile fades as he examines the violin. Another instrument bears an inlaid mother-of-pearl Star of David. Shelves are packed with dozens of dusty and worn violin cases of wood, leather, and canvas. A rehearsal. Violin Concerto No. 1 in G minor, Opus 26, Bruck. Itzhak closes his eyes and furrows his brow as he nestles the violin. Waves the slender baton. Members of the violin section ready their bows. A performance by the Israel Philharmonic Orchestra, conductor Zubin Mehta. With Toby and a friend.
There was an entry here to the kitchen. You see that window over there? That was my parents' bedroom. Then the next room was where I practiced.
In a photo, a young boy with thick, dark hair plays a violin. In another photo, a teenaged Itzhak wearing leg braces plays for his parents in a parlor. At the Philharmonic performance, Itzhak solos. A sepia photo of a young couple, cheek to cheek.
My parents came to Israel, strangers to the country.
And now with their young son.
My father did anything to make a living. He learned how to be a barber. That didn't work out because they needed me to be in an area where it was close to school. So they then washed clothes for the neighbors, you know. They adjusted what they did for a living to what they had to do for me. Anything that happened in my childhood besides school had to do with yes practice, no practice. That's all it was. Maybe just thought, listen, you have a talent, use it, because you're not going to be a tennis player. When you live in a small country, the goal is to go to the United States so that you go to the next level. But there were circumstances in which people who heard me play said, oh, yeah, we're very nice, but you can't really, he's disabled.
All the big classical music stars in the world came to Israel, and they all heard him. And nobody was brave enough to say he should go to the Juilliard School.
They looked at the general picture, did not look at the specific picture. The specific picture was, judge me by what I do, but don't judge me by what I can't do. So there was a period of time where nothing was happening. My parents actually were very close to giving up on me.
Ed Sullivan.
Just as Israel has triumphed over so many discouragements and so many hurdles.
1958.
This little boy, 13 and a half years old, and a polio victim, triumphed over polio with the help of God. And Yasha Heifetz, Yehudi Menuhin, say that he's going to be one of the great violin virtuosos of the world.
Yitzhak sits on stage, resting his violin on his thigh. Concerto in E minor, Opus 64, third movement, Allegretto non troppo, Mendelssohn.
Discussed Sullivan's reasons for taking me, and I don't know whether we agree on this or not, whether it was purely because of the way I played.
No.
Toby.
No.
No, I don't think so.
It was a, you know, poor little crippled boy kind of thing.
In a photo, Sullivan puts an arm around the 13-year-old's shoulders.
But anybody who heard that, any musician who heard that knew that it didn't have anything to do with Gribble, it didn't have anything to do with anything
other than
gift.
The Ed Sullivan performance continues. Still seated, young Yitzhak smiles and bows to the audience. In Washington, D.C., Toby walks with a younger couple, then takes a seat in a stylist chair at a salon.
Hello.
The stylist moves her fingers through Toby's salt and pepper shoulder length layered waves.
How you want me to go dry hair?
Yes. I want to look like Marilyn Monroe.
Toby finger combs her bangs down over her face.
Well, he's just finishing a tour, a 3-week tour of China, Japan, Korea.
To the service?
So that. No, he's a musician. He's a violinist.
Daughter Ariella sits in the next chair.
They did like a little NPR piece, mm-hmm. And then they were talking about all the things that my dad has done and that he like first came over when he was 13.
I also listened to this NPR piece that they did. There's a clip of the Strauss Sonata, the recording that he just made.
Yes.
Toby clutches her chest.
Totally breathtaking.
I know.
Totally.
Well, because we've been listening to it at home with the boys, and I'm like, I know that I love that. It's
but
so beautiful.
It came as such a shock to me, you know. And then I thought to myself, that's what I heard more than 50 years ago when I asked him to marry me. I heard that sound. It was just fantastic.
Sonata for violin and piano in E flat, Opus 18, Strauss. In a hotel suite, Toby holds a small stuffed toy. She glances out a window, then checks her cell phone. On the street below, Yitzhak, leaning heavily on his crutches, steps backward into a stretch limousine. He pulls his leg into the car. At a ceremony for the Presidential Medal of Freedom 2015, Barack Obama.
In an interview, violinist Yitzhak Perlman was once asked what sound he loves. And his eyes lit up and he replied, the sound of onions sizzling in a pan.
Seated beside the president, Yitzhak chuckles.
This is a man of large appetites who knows how to live. But what truly sets him apart and what makes him perhaps the most beloved violinist of our time is that he approaches music the way he approaches everything in life, with passion and with joy. He lays bare the soul of a piece, making us feel each note and giving us a glimpse of something bigger than ourselves. And by doing so, he makes the world a little more beautiful.
Steven Spielberg and Barbara Streisand join in the applause. The president drapes the blue ribbon with a gold medallion around Yitzhak's neck. The men shake hands and share a warm embrace. A film clip from Violin Virtuoso, Christopher Newpin's 1978 documentary. Yitzhak drives through New York City.
When I first came to the States, first we lived in a downtown hotel for one day.
then another downtown hotel for another day, and then this, we lived there for a year.
Over a liquor store.
Just me and my mother. I had a little kitchen. We lived in one room. And that's when I had my my first tutoring to study English. So, oh, listen, let me take you to Juilliard, the old Juilliard. I mean, this was my route. This was the route every day, or three, four times a week. I used to go to Juilliard, and Juilliard was not at the Lincoln Center. Juilliard was all the way up to 120th Street.
1993 interview, Juilliard teacher Dorothy DeLay.
He had come over to the United States from Israel, and he was in a miserable hotel room, and it was raining, and he was in a terrible mood. Did not want to play for me. And he looked at me just frowning, and finally, and he didn't speak any English, neither did his mother, but we managed to make it clear that he was supposed to play. He started playing Mendelssohn Concerto at about double tempo and looking at me very crossly while he did it. I thought, I've never seen anything like this in my life. It was just amazing. And
Dorothy smiles wistfully.
And I think I fell in love with him then.
She beams.
He really was amazing.
Old footage, Meadow Mount School of Music, 1960. Classmates and a teacher listen as young Itzhak plays. Violin Concerto No. 1 in F-sharp minor, Opus 14, Third Movement, Rondo, Allegro Giocoso, Mianowski. The bow briskly saws over the strings as his fingers dance along the strings at the neck. Teacher watches his own violin, silent. He nods with the music.
There was no question about that talent. I think the question in some people's minds was the fact that he walked with crutches.
Dorothy DeLay.
And they called it wrong.
She shakes her head.
You know, they really called it wrong. And I knew at the time that they were calling it wrong.
A younger Dorothy poses with a hand on Itzhak's back.
I tried to find as many ways as possible to make him independent, and he became very independent.
In the photo, Itzhak holds a cat.
Sometimes she would do certain things, and she'd say, why the hell is she doing it? After a while, you know that there was a plan.
Miss DeLay took you to museums. She got you an art teacher so that you were drawing and painting, and you were developing as a person.
Yeah.
She understood that art is a reflection of the artist, and if there's nothing going on up here...
Toby jabs at her hand.
Maybe not much will go on here.
Yeah, I thought she was a wonderful teacher.
She was
I hated her.
Hitchcock's blue eyes widened in mock anger.
I hated her because she was so different than my first teacher. See, because my first teacher just told me everything. You do this, you're not doing this, you're not practicing, you know, I mean, God, please, please, okay. Then comes Mr. Lane. Sugar Plum, what do you think of that? What do you think of this? What do you mean, what do I think? I don't think. You tell me what to do, and I'll do it. Don't tell me that I have to think. If something was out of tune, she would say, Sugar Plum, what's your concept of G-sharp? What the hell do you mean, my concept? But it's very interesting that I hated the way she taught me. And now that's the way I teach.
In a large parlor, over a dozen teens and young adults gather as Itzhak plays a recording. Hungarian Dance No. 17 in F-sharp minor, Brahms. Itzhak gazes up into the air as he listens. A young man bows his head, eyes closed. Another nods thoughtfully. A young woman holds her chin, her gaze distant. Itzhak's close and his head lowers. As he listens, he grimaces and moves slightly, as if mentally playing the piece.
So let me ask you, was anybody here moved by any of these four performances? Where you were moved by all of them?
For me, the Chrysler, which is so warm and tender, it's like this connection to his sound.
It was passion.
It was like gripping from beginning to end. That's something about artistry.
Maybe it has to do with my age, whatever it is. I know that the middle section of the Chrysler one.
He presses his lips in a tight line and shakes his head.
That was for me. That was for me. And the Heifetz one, I felt awestruck by the middle section, you know, what he did with colors. And it was almost showing off, where it was just like one color after another, and it was just came with you. It was like fireworks. Boom, 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 and it was all perfectly timed and so on.
I had a question about sound, though. Do you think that timing could affect the illusion of how we perceive the sound?
The front and the end of the note affect what you're hearing and how you emote to it. I think front, like someone was talking about the bowing and how hard it was, I think articulation and the way you end notes is just as important as the note and the core of the sound itself. Because if the core is gorgeous, but it ends totally flat, emotionally, it's not gonna speak.
Now, with string players is more esoteric, because, you know, you are playing on an instrument and you are doing stuff with your hands. And why does it come out in certain people so incredible? And in some other, it's okay, but is not as moving. That for me is inexplicable, and it's nice that there's certain things that you can't explain. It's always nice.
At a sound check in a large hall, a man's fingers hammer at a grand piano's keys. A banner reads, Billy Joel at the Garden. The pianist, Billy Joel, wears a Mets baseball cap. Also on the stage, Itzhak readies his music. He plays. Someone hands Itzhak an earpiece.
Is the mic on?
Get the violin sound.
Billy smiles as Itzhak plays.
So I was wrong.
To a keyboard player.
Can I play alone? Because I'm always playing together with somebody.
In which ones?
That's a little everything.
Bit hard, yeah. Well, one, I put some of those in there. This is all unison, yep. Yeah, right? You want it on your own?
Yeah, and I want that on my own. I mean, because otherwise it's why you know, it's silly, you know, for me to,
right.
Don't you think? I mean,
Billy.
You can loosen it up, as long as we state that line, because it's Allentown.
No, of course. I'm going to follow.
Ending, then?
I'd love to take the ending. Then we'll just... I have an idea, but, you know, just a little something before, so that it brings in those fantastic Indian-sounding drums.
Before the percussion?
Yeah.
So we'd have to skip the...
No, you can have whatever you want.
Well, if I do that, you'll never hear your violin.
Oh, I see. So maybe after the violin, after you... I can do it.
Well, I do the...
Yeah, and then
we count.
The percussion starts. It's four of them.
Oh, I see. But is it possible that I can be maybe before that and then bring the drums?
Yeah, we can try it.
A run through.
We'll be right back.
successfully dances a jig.
Is that what we're going for?
If you want something else that can be Jewish, it can be Irish.
No, the Irish thing sounded good, actually.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are going to do a song for St. Patrick's Day. And it goes something like this.
Billy gestures to the musicians behind him in the empty hall. In a dressing room, Itzhak buttons up a deep red silk Mandarin jacket. A friend helps with the silk knot buttons at the collar.
Itzhak
drives the scooter into the bright light of the stage.
This is his way.
Bright lights flicker, then sweep over the stage and audience. Itzhak appears on a massive monitor over the stage. Snow blankets New York City. At home, the gray and white dog watches Toby and Itzhak in the kitchen.
What is it like their paths with snow drifts and stuff?
Drifts and puddles and puddles
nice.
To here.
Oh, that's nice.
You either end up on the street with a scooter lopsided.
No, the scooter's not going to be lopsided.
Or you'll just
The scooter's going to be underneath water, but not lopsided. My weight is too much.
You just have to allow enough time so we're not rushing.
Is there a lot of puddles?
A lot of puddles.
In his scooter, Itzhak backs out of the kitchen.
Okay, look, I'm going to go into the second one. I'm going to go into the higher scooter.
A friend arrives, Martha Potter Kim.
I brought pickles.
Pickles?
Pickles.
Yeah.
Why?
What else am I going to buy at the hardware store?
Martha greets Toby with a hug.
No one was on the road.
Unbelievable.
There are mountains at either end. I'm afraid for my life, you know.
I thought nobody but you would come from Boston today.
Toby unwraps a package.
Oh, my God.
A jar of pickles.
Doesn't say kosher, so, you know, if you don't want it in the house, I'm not hurt. I'll take it home.
How can a pickle not be kosher?
I don't know.
It's a cucumber.
This is one of our oldest friends from when we were like 14, 15.
Old film footage. A young woman plays at a recital.
We knew each other at Meadowmount, and Miss DeLay would sometimes take me out. And also in the car would be Itzhak and Mrs. Perlman, his mother. This was kind of a gentle way of, I guess, of introducing Itzhak to American kids. Toby was blown away by Itzhak's playing, and she was a goner.
In a photo, young Toby stands over Itzhak's shoulder as he plays. Toby, in a 1978 interview.
Isaac was playing on one of the student concerts that Sunday night.
Toby wears an Izod tennis dress and a Dorothy Hamill-style bob.
And I went backstage and asked him to marry me.
She flashes a broad, toothy grin.
He was 17. It was July 4th weekend, and he was almost 18. His birthday's the end of August.
A teenage Toby sits on his lap.
Well, about a year or so after we met, he grew up, and he became interested in girls and found a girlfriend. And it wasn't me. It was somebody else. It was terrible. So I had to kind of live through that period of time. And it was a very difficult, because, you see, I was hopelessly in love with him. But he recovered from his, you know, other girlfriend. It took a year or so. And our friendship resumed, and it grew, and it, you know, it blossomed. And really, marriage was the most natural thing. It was not an emotional trauma for us at all.
In a photo, Toby wears a wedding veil over her short bouffant hairdo. An older man kisses her cheek. Itzhak stands beside her in a white tie tuxedo. The young couple pose together in a backyard. In home movies, Toby laughs as Itzhak plays a cello. Itzhak stands at the kitchen stove cooking in two woks. Outside, he nibbles the toes of a preschool-age girl, then playfully taps her back in a mock shiatsu massage. Using his crutches, he plays tennis with a young boy. The little girl runs across a yard and somersaults to a stop. Itzhak escorts a bride down an aisle at an outdoor wedding. Sonata number 2 in A major, opus 2, number 2, Vivaldi. More photos. Itzhak sits beside Oscar the Grouch. He chats with Frank Sinatra at a black tie affair. He rehearses with conductor John Williams. He smiles and gestures as he chats with Johnny Carson on The Tonight Show. He plays alongside Yo-Yo Ma on cello. He shares a stage with Luciano Pavarotti. On another stage, he receives a kiss from Toby as Alan Alda applauds. Both Presidents Bush and their families stand and applaud. Back in snowy New York City, Itzhak drives his mobility scooter down a cleared sidewalk. Toby walks alongside. A man follows with a snow shovel. They stop at a narrow path through a snowbank.
This is bad. I mean, this is bad.
Martha and a few others wait at the impasse as a man shovels some of the snow. Itzhak drives forward, his wheels sinking into slush.
No. Well, just clean a little bit of the thing. It's wide enough.
Itzhak drives forward, just squeezing past the snow built up on both sides of the path.
Way to go!
Toby keeps a hand on the back of the scooter as they cross the street. In a photo, young Toby smiles from a chair beside a radio.
When we met, the common thing for us was the music. We learned a lot from just spending evenings listening to records.
You never heard a Schubert song till you met me.
I was very late in listening. Think about Israel. The only chance of listening to any music is the radio.
Whereas nothing. I went to Carnegie Hall twice a week with my father. You know, my father believed that if Heifetz was playing in Carnegie Hall, it was more important for me to go to hear Heifetz and not go to school the next day because I would be up too late than not to hear Heifetz and go to school. So as a result, I learned other things that served me so well in life. In my life with you.
A sign on a dressing room door reads, Itzhak Perlman. Inside, Itzhak practices. Toby checks her phone, then sits and listens to the violin. Toby jumps up.
Isaac, on the E string. Sharp.
Nah, I didn't play the E string yet. Are you talking about this morning?
The rehearsal. Sharp on the E string, not in the last movement, that's fine. All the way up, yeah.
Wearing a deep blue mandarin jacket, Itzhak plays, his eyes closed tightly, a half smile on his lips.
Television so I can watch some baseball, something between commercials or something I can practice.
Now on stage at the Delaware Grand Opera House, Misha Mayisky plays his cello. Itzhak joins in. Piano Trio No. 1 in B-flat major, D898, Schubert. Evgeny Kissin on piano. Sunroom, Itzhak and Toby watch a baseball game on TV. The dog sits beside Toby on a couch. In the city, Itzhak drives a scooter on a busy sidewalk. He passes the Juilliard School, where portraits of dancers and musicians adorn the modern building. At a vegetable stand, he hefts a head of cauliflower, then buys it. He drives, turning down a narrow alley beside a brownstone building. He presses a button, and an arched door covered with wrought iron grill swings open. In his kitchen, he chops the cauliflower and stirs a pot.
That's probably Alan.
Now, the problem this is that if I don't stand up, I can't see what's in there.
He tilts the pot and peers inside. Toby brings in a visitor, Alan Alda.
I'm cooking for you.
What are you cooking?
I'm cooking a soup.
What kind of soup?
A color garbage pail soup.
I have to go now.
That means everything in the garbage pail goes in the soup.
I hurried.
You hurried.
All right.
Itzhak sniffs the red wine, then takes a sip.
This is a Syrah. This is really a great wine.
Alan drinks some.
Well, que sera, sera. I'm surprised you didn't say that.
Alan refills Itzhak's glass.
Enough.
Later, the men sit at a table.
You knew I had polio.
No.
You didn't know I had polio?
It didn't affect you as far as walking and stuff like that.
See, I had something you didn't have, I bet. I had the Sister Kenny treatment, a lot of really painful massage, and wrapping your muscles all over your body with scalding hot blankets.
That I did not have. I had to smell smoke, parchment with holy words.
He
and then they would burn it, and I would smell the holy words.
Oh, give up.
My parents would put me on all sorts of weird diets, a raw egg every morning.
Oy.
And you know, I kind of liked that.
You did?
I did, especially the yolk, mercury.
Mercury.
Yeah, I had to have a little thing of mercury
this
every morning.
Terribly toxic.
That's how you explain the way I behave.
At the stove, Itzhak fumbles a pot lid.
What are you doing?
Itzhak's shoulders heave as he chuckles.
A good technique is not how many fast notes do you play. A good technique is how do you manipulate a phrase in such a way with giving it colors and stuff that you can actually make it sound amazing. Once you have that technique, then you have to have, I suppose, a vision of what to do with the technique. And I suppose that's in acting the same thing, if you have the vision.
Yeah, I think so. I think there are different layers of preparation, different layers of performance. For me personally, I find out how I'm going to do it by doing it.
Okay, yes.
You too?
Yeah, oh, yes.
Oh, no kidding.
Oh, no. You. I don't have a plan.
Yeah.
When the music speaks to me,
yeah,
I react. Yeah, but, you know, when something is planned, it'll sound planned.
I think that's so true.
So you don't want to do
it. I don't want to hear a report on what they decided to do. I want to hear something live for the first time.
Mm-hmm. Alan pours more Syrah.
Now we're talking. You know, as I'm getting older, I don't know, do you find as you're getting older you don't like anybody?
No, I got the opposite. As I get older, I think, oh my God, look what they can do.
Itzhak uses a blender.
You said it.
They eat a thick pureed bisque.
Was either of your parents musical?
No.
No, no. So where did you get it?
Itzhak points to his head.
Does.
During a rainstorm in Paris, Itzhak backs his scooter down a van's ramp. In a large studio, a photographer captures Itzhak and a woman, Martha Argerich, seated beside him. Itzhak plucks his strings with a thumb.
Finally, little boy, Moshe. Yes, Moshe, says, Pushkin's bar mitzvah.
Wonderful.
Martha plays a grand piano, her long gray hair flowing over her shoulders. Sonata for violin and harpsichord number 4 in C minor, Bach.
To play Bach, I said, that's the piano that I want to hear when I play these sonatas. You get inspired, you know, with what you hear.
Martha.
It's a very special relationship, and I am completely enchanted.
Well, it's like having a conversation.
Completely.
Which is nice.
The musicians turn to each other.
That was good.
That's really good.
Itzhak rolls over to Toby, seated nearby.
We've been waiting for 15 minutes for the bathroom. We finally managed to open the door.
A young man lies face down on a quilt.
We can't continue the recording session until Itzhak can go to the bathroom. This is the only accessible bathroom in the entire recording studio.
This is a new one for me.
Okay, here we go.
Here they are.
A man ushers the sleepy intruder out of the bathroom. He carries his quilt under one arm, and a hood covers his face. Itzhak raises his brows to the camera.
I'm going into the bathroom. Thank you very much.
In a control room, Itzhak listens through headphones. Martha scans sheet music. FAE Sonata, Scherzo in C minor, Brahms.
I think the piano's too loud. I think a little bit. Or give me more violin.
Itzhak cringes and shakes his head.
Many, many things that I have to fix.
Me too.
Yeah.
But you think in general, what do you think?
I think general is fine, you know. Once I wake up, then it'll be fine.
I am not.
I was sleeping there.
Back in the studio, Martha and Itzhak. Her arms. Now at the offices of Tiresio, Itzhak drives a scooter with one hand.
Hello?
As he holds his instrument case against his chest.
Would you like to hold a cheap Strad?
Sure.
Violin restorer Stefan Velkua opens the zippered foam lined case.
The violin is good. The case
violin
is the
fine. Great.
I'm going to the coast, so I just want you to look if see if there's any.
Sure.
Are there any openings or anything
Make
like
sure
this?
That it's
Stefan takes the violin so out of its fabric pouch. He rubs a finger over the violin's curving sides.
Why do you do that?
If I find an open spot, it actually makes it louder. So if I miss something, this tells me, hey, look here again.
He inspects the seam.
It's all good.
Oh, so now there are no excuses.
No excuses.
Stefan adjusts the bridge, well, the block that holds the strings over the violin's body.
There we go. Nice and straight.
Stefan turns the instrument in his hands.
You know, as clean, as beautiful as it is slightly uneven, which gives it a very sort of organic feeling to it.
Uneven where?
Stefan points to the decorative edge on the instrument's back.
One side is slightly thicker than the other side.
Yeah.
And it goes from thinner to slightly thicker.
He examines the carved scroll at the end of the violin's neck.
This one is quite unusual because this one still retains a lot of tool marks.
I like that.
That's beautiful.
So why does this thing sound good?
I wish I knew. Why don't all Strats sound like this one?
Is it an accident?
It's maybe in part an accident, and a very lucky one, for that matter.
Stefan angles the instrument, letting daylight fall across the wood's dark and light grain.
They don't sound like this.
You know, they sound great, but not like this one.
Yeah. All I know is when I first played on it, I couldn't believe it.
Itzhak plays in Stefan's workshop.
No, I just remember that we got a house and we had no money, and then I got the phone call that this was for sale. And I turned to my wife and I said, what are we going to do now? She says, oh, we take another loan.
Stefan smiles knowingly.
I said, okay, fine, let's take another loan. Still paying it. When you own a dog and you're nervous, your dog is nervous. And
sure.
If you're calm, your dog is calm. It's the same with the violin. If you start trying to figure out what would make it sound better, it always needs adjustment, you know, and...
You know, it's a living thing in some ways. It moves with the weather.
Yeah.
The material itself moves, so every day you pick it up, it's going to feel different, sound different.
I play all my concerts on this, and it's my dream violin, and every time I look at it, I say, I'm very lucky. I can make things work on this violin easily. You know, it responds to the color changes. It responds to my concept of sound. You know, I have a particular concept of sound, you know, and when I play on this violin, you know, it gives it to me.
Israel 1974, Violin Partita No. 2, Bach. Subtitles. How do you explain to someone how one has a beautiful tone and the other doesn't? You can't explain it. You need to be able to hear it. The person who has the concept in his mind, I want it to sound in a certain way, then it manifests itself. You need to be able to hear it, otherwise nothing comes out. I'm not talking about quality. I'm talking about beauty. The violin is a fantastic instrument. It's a replica of the soul. Lowered. He dabs at his brow with the violin's cloth and sets the instrument aside. Nighttime in the city. Itzhak drives the scooter over a crosswalk. His head bobs slightly to a faint tune. He winds his way among pedestrians, then disappears into a building's glass lobby. As he waits in an elevator, the doors open then close behind him. He glances at the camera with a bemused smile. The doors open again. He looks back over his shoulder and waves in a group of young women. He chuckles silently. Now in a Juilliard School rehearsal, about 24 young musicians sit in a semicircle around a raised dais. Leaning heavily on his crutches, Itzhak steps onto the dais and takes a seat. A young cellist watches, transfixed.
All tuned, everybody?
Itzhak waves a slender baton. Symphony No. 6 in B minor, Opus 74, second movement. Allegro con grazia, Tchaikovsky.
When I heard it, I went, the B, I did stop vibrating for some reason. So make sure that B is vibrated. Okay, one more time.
He shakes his head slightly, then gestures with his hands. Young women in the violin section smile. A poster at Lincoln Center. Itzhak Perlman conducts the Juilliard Orchestra.
I sincerely believe that it was this commitment that you made to teaching that put your playing on the level Absolutely. It is today.
On a stage Absolutely. At Princeton University.
And I always say to my students, never, ever miss an opportunity to teach. Because when you teach others, you teach yourself. And I find that in my playing, I think Toby's right, my playing has taken a different kind of meaning because I'm basically teaching myself at all times because I'm listening on a certain level.
A moderator.
In school curriculums, when budgets are tight, music education, fine arts is the first thing that gets cut. Why is it important? Why should it be an integral part of child development?
A society is not complete without the arts. It's mm-hmm. just not.
Music gives us permission to dream. And out of our dreams, sometimes something important happens. It gives us permission to feel, to be human. It's what separates us from, I mean, you watch the films of these monkeys and they're so smart and they're smarter than a lot of people we know. But, you know, but the fact is that we are separated by very little, and music is one of the things, and art, that separates us. On the way here today, we were driving here.
Well, Hitzhak rolls his eyes.
We listen a lot to the opera channel, and suddenly this voice, this song.
Marian Anderson, sing a spiritual.
I thought you were gonna crash the car.
Yeah.
Because the beauty was such that, you know, I couldn't breathe. Well, that's the point, especially in this world.
I always feel, am I not lucky to be able to be affected by music like that? I consider myself lucky. Both of us, you know, who can just listen to something and just be so moved.
Marian Anderson, Crucifixion, spiritual. Following the talk, Toby and Itzhak greet students. Toby helps her husband with his thick winter coat. In Jerusalem, young women wearing headscarves walk with shopping bags and cell phones. Genesis Prize Press Conference, 2016.
And now it's my pleasure and honor to introduce the laureate of 2016 of the Genesis Prize, Mr. Itzhak Perlman.
Itzhak drives onto the stage. He addresses a bank of photographers and journalists.
This award is unique in providing an opportunity to do something meaningful with the generous $1 million prize. Most prizes, you get the prize and it's very nice. Here, you get the prize and you give it right back. That's what makes it so Jewish.
Now the Perlman family gathers for a meal on a veranda surrounded by palm trees.
This prize makes you work at charity. It's not something that you can say, here's money, take it. I did my job.
I think the decision to give to primarily to disability and music or a combination thereof is the right decision for us because that's the focus of our life.
A woman nods.
Architects and interior designers should take special courses. I mean, how do you design a room in a hotel that would actually, you know how many times I get into the wall and I smash into the wall and I go into the bathroom and I have to really maneuver and so.
What about endowing an architectural prize that recognizes brilliance
really good idea.
Disability access design?
That is an incredible
idea. That is such a good idea.
I got it.
There's so many places where you can get in.
Right.
And you cannot imagine how hostile that makes me feel. How hostile that makes me oh, feel.
I can imagine.
Yes, we all grew up with you going, I hate this. Bleep. I hate it. Right? So that was basically.
I never
our whole
said
life.
That.
So we have no idea what you're talking about with hostility.
A man enjoys his goat cheese salad.
Your perspective about food has to do with your childhood. Because sometimes when food is really rotten and you have it as a child, then you think it's great. For example, and I think we should all agree here, gefilte fish. Don't you think it's kind of theoretically yucky?
No, I love it.
You love it. Why do you like it?
I don't think it's theoretically yucky either.
I mean, think about it. Chopped fish.
It's like a canal.
With sugar.
It's delicious.
Boiled. I mean, what could be more disgusting? And yet, we all love it.
So are you excited about meeting Netanyahu?
Yes, I mean, meeting every head of state is exciting in a way.
Very exciting.
Meeting the head of a state. We don't have to talk politics. We can talk about food. We can talk about music.
Elsewhere, a dog with a thick white coat waddles up to Itzhak and his mobility scooter.
I shouldn't.
Itzhak pulls back his outstretched hand.
She's biting?
He lets the dog sniff his knee.
How do you do? Kaya, oh, you're a good dog. Oh, yeah.
Itzhak shakes hands with Benjamin Netanyahu. Subtitles. You can't start off with a biting. I heard she is a biter. Netanyahu responds.
She's a biting dog, you know.
But she likes
you. But she likes you.
At dinner.
We have two dogs. One is called Motek, and the other one is called Boychik.
The Perlman family joins Netanyahu and other guests.
My job is when I'm in the city, I have the night walk. I'm walking at night.
You live in Washington, D.C.?
No, we're in New York. Yeah. In New York.
At the 2016 Genesis Prize ceremony, Netanyahu presents to Itzhak the Genesis Prize statuette.
When I was a student at the Juilliard School in New York, a lady of means helped me out by providing taxi money for the trips to and from the school and funds for books and sheet music. It wasn't a lot of money, but it made a difference. Her pure agenda taught me something about giving.
At the Perlman Music Program, Itzhak and Toby greet young musicians.
Developing promising new talent is something my wife Toby and I have always supported through the Perlman Music Program, and we have made it our mission to cultivate performers over the years.
Two young men greet each other with a hug. Now in Lod, Israel, a woman chaperones a group of teenagers. Itzhak drives the scooter over cobblestone streets. A boy at a microphone. At the Al Amari Mosque, an ancient stone building with a tall minaret tower. Over a door, a Greek cross with the letters N-I-K-A. Inside, a woman with her head covered bows before burning candles. Outside, Toby and Itzhak join a gathering of young people in matching baseball t-shirts that read the Perlman Music Program 2016.
What we named this area is the Triangle of Peace. It's the only place in the country that has a synagogue, a church, and a mosque together, joint, and it's like a triangle. It's not easy to live in a mixed city together all the time, but we are trying to make it work.
On a porch with young people dressed in white.
I was inspired to start this program by my own life experience in school. I wasn't a good student. On the violin, I wasn't a particularly interesting or exciting violinist. So I had a struggle, kind of on all levels. And the more I looked around, the more I felt that, especially at music programs, the more I felt that I could make a difference.
The Perlman Music Program on Shelter Island. A little white dog curls up on a chair. A man conducts a chorus. Joins them. Itzhak follows the score.
The curriculum was ready to go, but more important than the curriculum, the philosophy. Because you see, the music is just an excuse. This program is about life.
On stage with chamber musicians.
When, you know, you play a phrase, whatever it is, a quartet here and so on, and somebody is slightly out of tune. How do you deal with that without hurting somebody's feelings and without seeming, you know, arrogant, and just to say, hey, that's no good, you know, is not helpful.
Itzhak meets with a young man.
Yeah, okay. And a lot of people are saying, can we listen to you teach one of your best students? And we never do that because we feel that there's no such thing as the best
student. Right, there's no such thing as the best. Every child develops at his or her own pace.
Exactly.
They come to us out of these competitive situations, and we're exactly the opposite.
Now, Itzhak wears a hat with long floppy ears and tufts of pink hair. He checks himself out on the cell phone camera and shakes his head.
It's supposed to be a tiny little thing.
Unbelievable.
Families gather under a tent.
My name is Ding Dong, and I represent all of your childhood imaginary friends. Can't you tell?
He makes faces. Instrument cases lie piled under the tent. One bears a sticker for Juilliard. Itzhak conducts a rehearsal, Divertimento in F major, Kurzweil 138, Mozart. Toby watches from the back of the tent, a dog curled at her feet.
Okay, good. So why don't we do the first movement? My teacher in Israel, she was sort of my only teacher for 8 years. The chemistry between me, my teacher, my parents, and, you know, it was like the triangle of hell, where my teacher would give my parents hell, and then my parents would give me hell, and then my teacher would give me hell separately. And so it was hell. There were threats that they will take me out of the house and put me in some institution or something. I remember their words all the time in Hebrew. En lo ambitia, en lo ambitia. He has no ambition, he has no ambition. They were always looking at other students at that time, you know, and they said, look at this guy, look at this guy. And you don't care. Maybe that was a good thing.
Well, you were focused then, as you are now, on how you play the phrase. Approach the piece. Maybe another child would have caved under the pressure and become dysfunctional.
For me, I think you have to have the ability to evolve.
Yeah.
Some people don't have the ability to evolve, you know.
They're at their prime when they're 12. That's what we want to avoid.
Yeah, yeah.
In terms of you, I was in the camp with Miss DeLay and your mother. I had no doubt. So I never worried.
That made two of us.
You always worried.
Yeah, that's my mother. She worried.
Yes,
she was a big worrier.
Your mother was a big worrier.
Yeah,
yes,
that's where I get it from.
But be fair. Growing up the way she grew up in the ghetto in Poland, and her life, I mean, of course she worried.
She didn't trust anybody. She felt that if somebody did something good, there was a hidden agenda.
But I do think that people of her age, in that generation, Jews, who suffered and struggled, because all Jews suffered and struggled, and in different ways.
Right.
You know, my parents lived in New York. My parents were born in America. And both were the victims of anti-Semitism here. But I don't think you can compare it to the experience that your parents had.
That's true, absolutely.
At the violin shop in Tel Aviv.
So the instruments were confiscated by the Germans.
By the Germans.
Amnon Weinstein.
The people who came to Auschwitz, they came always with a violin. People never left the violin, don't forget it. And then they confiscated it, sent them to the gas, and then they gave it to the orchestra. The man survived. Because he played the orchestra.
I wonder if there were some people who couldn't really play very well, but just said, I'll do it, just for...
And none of them continued to play except one or two after the war.
In other words, this was strictly for survival.
Itzhak plays a violin.
When people ask once, Isaac Stern, why so many Jewish people are playing the violin, his answer was, this is the easiest instrument to pick up and to run away. When they were listening to the playing for them, they were not in the camp, they were out. And you know what is 5 minutes not to be in Auschwitz? Even in your mind? That's life-saving. That's the power of the violin. May I ask you to play a little bit the Schindler's List on the Auschwitz violin?
You know, it's incredible with Schindler's List, when I go around the world, the only piece that people want ask to play is that. Start imagining what's happening, you know, it's very,
you know what this violin
moving.
Have seen?
Yeah.
If you could tell it to us by words.
Yeah.
Itzhak gazes somberly at the instrument in his hands.
He got a gift. Because what he's doing there is, it's not music. This is praying with a violin.
A performance. Theme from Schindler's List, John T. Williams, pianist Rowan De Silva. Striped uniforms play violins and accordions. Nazi guards look on. Nighttime in New York. In a deep red library at the Brownstone Row House, Itzhak unzips his instrument case. He selects one of several bows mounted inside the lid. He makes an adjustment on the bow's handle, then plucks the violin strings. A nearby mantle holds over a dozen Grammy Awards, four Emmys, and many more. On the mantle, a baseball bat and four autographed baseballs. In the kitchen, a playful menorah features winged women.
I think a lot in life is luck, because who knew that we would grow together? We wouldn't grow apart. Who knew that we would both be baseball fanatics? You know, all of these little pieces of life that are really important. It's one thing to love the guy you marry, but to also respect the guy you marry. This is perfect, perfect. And now I'm going to shoot the dog. Get outside. I really don't like all this barking, and now you're gonna stay outside.
Both dogs escape to a patio. A man arrives.
Number one son, exhausted number one son.
And a preteen boy wearing a plaid fedora and sunglasses. The boy hugs Itzhak, then Toby.
Hello.
Another young boy hugs Itzhak.
Chicken in the oven, ducks in the oven. Duh!
The two boys high five.
Which is right from the Lalo, and I don't know what came first.
Granddaughter.
And she told me to get a lot of stuff to choose from, but I haven't got it yet.
You should get, you play some foray.
I like the medicine.
You like medicine, okay.
And she also said today may be Mendelssohn's Sonata.
It's a nice piece. Difficult for piano, because piano has no other.
Six young women and girls join Toby before candles on a mantle. They wave their hands through the smoke, then cover their eyes. Itzhak places an embroidered yarmulke over his wiry gray hair. Toby sets out wine. Now at a table, family members raise their glasses. Itzhak raises a silver goblet. In a studio.
Oh,
credits. Directed and produced by Allison Chernick. Edited by Helen Yum. Cinematography, Daniel Kadim, Christopher Gallo, Miko Timonen, and Chris Dapkins. Credits roll as Itzhak and Toby walk their dogs, Motek and Boychek, through a park. Production manager, James Reslier Wells. Co-executive producer, Miguel A. Capriles Canizero. Additional cinematography, Robert Elfstrom, Ramsey Fendall, Jean-Marc Brazou. Additional camera operators, Jenny Morelli, Rod Lamborn, Nelson Walker III, Mark Mormon, Mark Peterson, Roddy Blalock, Sam Coleman, Chris Tipton King, Avner Shahoff, and Robin Mueller. Sound recordist, Robert Albrecht, Adriano Bravo. Consulting editor, Jonathan Oppenheim. Additional editor, Anna Gustavi. Israel Production Company, Medallia Productions. Assistant camera, James Reslier Wells and Tristan Nash. Production assistants, Tomer Priest and Matt Casterell. Assistant editing, Tristan Nash, Scott Foley, James Reslier Wells and Yuval Shapira. Advisors, Bill Hawes, Henkis Netsky, Mark Slobin, and Joseph Strauss. Marketing manager, Daniel Shaw. Hebrew translation, Yuval Shapira. Archival research, Lily Udinsky. Digital intermediate colorist, Will Cox. Digital intermediate online editor, Drew Kilgore. Post-production services, Final Frame. Supervising sound editor, re-recording mixer, Daniel Timmons. Audio description sponsored by Woman of Her Word. Voiced by Michelle Spitz. Produced by Cliff Hahn. A production of Voyeur Films and American Masters Pictures. Copyright 2017.